I'm Dirty A. As the name suggests, we're going to talk about a hodgepodge of topics from movies, music, and other pop culture events.
And on this episode, we'll be discussing the film Ready Player One.
Which is definitely a pop culture event.
It's something. You can reach us at thehodgepodgepodcast@gmail.com or on our website, thehodgepodgepodcast.com. Or look for us on YouTube and iTunes and subscribe. Or head over to Facebook, search for The Hodgepodge Podcast. And like our page. And it's been a little bit since our last episode, but it's mainly because we haven't seen any movies. Or at least any of the same movies, I should say.
Yeah.
Stuff's been coming out. We just haven't really gone to see it. You saw Tomb Raider and then immediately regretted it.
As with Death Wish.
Oh, you saw that too? Oh, God. Why'd you do that to yourself? And you haven't seen Pacific Rim yet, have you?
No.
I haven't seen Pacific Rim yet either. And I heard, and I think Jen told me, she's like, it's just okay. So it's not that great. So we're in a holding pattern until Avengers comes out,
Death
I guess.
Death Wish is the audience reaction to the movie. you will wish to be dead.
Yeah, Avengers comes out in a few weeks now. We're looking at 3 weeks, I guess.
I won't get to see it.
That sucks. Where are you going?
Dallas.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, I have to. I won't be seeing it the night before when we usually see it because I have rehearsal for my play. If it was going to come out when it was supposed to come out in May, I would have been fine. But no, Marvel had to move it.
So you can wait till May.
I'm not waiting till May. So I'm seeing it the actual opening day in the afternoon. I took off that day from work. For my show, so I'm seeing it then with Dirty Matt. So there you go. Who will be seeing it the night before? So I've seen it twice in less than 24 hours. Speaking of a movie that I saw twice in less than 24 hours, recently revisited Star Wars: The Last Jedi, and it's not any better. It didn't get any better.
People seem to think it gets better every time you watch it. Still only watched it the couple times in the theater.
I got it on Blu-ray and I watched it this weekend. I'm just like, this movie's not that good.
Whatever. Still better than Rogue One.
Yes, it is. It is better than Rogue One. Because at least this wasn't boring. At least Rogue One was boring. Until the end. The end was interesting.
But you didn't care.
I really didn't care. And I'm just like watching. I'm just like, why is she in this movie? Why is Finn going there? Why is Poe just sitting around doing nothing? Why didn't Leia die when she got blown out of the ship?
So many things.
It's like I said in our review that we did. All the Jedi stuff I like. All the stuff with Luke and Rey and Kylo Ren. I like all that stuff. And they can pretty much go anywhere with it, I guess. But I'm just
or just stay in their comfort zone, which they refuse to leave.
Well, yeah, I mean, the ultimate fuck you would have been if they had her turn to the dark side in that movie at the end. That would have been the ultimate fuck you. But yeah, that's what's so funny is because like what so many of the fanboys are mad about is like the stuff like I was fine with. Like her parents, I'm like, I'm fine with that. I don't care, whatever.
Yeah, well, I like that actually.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Technically. They could still spin that.
They could, but I don't think they will.
I don't think they will either. But technically, they could still be like, that was bullshit. He was feeding you some lies. But see,
that's the thing. He doesn't say it to her. He says to her, you know the truth. You've known it all along. Right. Say it. And then she goes, there were no one. And so she knows the truth. So.
And then he could just be like, yeah. Yeah, that's the truth. Yeah.
Han Solo's really her father. Which you'll find out in Solo.
And this broad is way off.
Her father's R.G. Bunker. Yeah, speaking of Solo, that comes out in next month. And I'm sure we'll probably see a final trailer for that, I would guess, with Avengers, probably. At Well, no, that's too late. So it has. I would think there has to be another trailer soon, I guess, right?
I guess I don't really need another trailer.
Oh, neither do I. Neither
do I. It's whatever. We're going to go see it. Hopefully we'll be decent.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll be bad. Who knows?
That's true. There's a definite possibility.
There's a possibility that we're not going to enjoy this movie. Let's face it.
In the middle, we're going to turn each
other. Only our favorite character from our favorite series ever, you know.
Oh, God.
There's a distinct possibility we're not going to like the way they take this.
We'll turn to each other and go, let's go see Deadpool 2 again. Let's go see Deadpool again. Which looks great. They had a new trailer come out. And then they had a trailer for Deadpool. It was a Green Band trailer, but they had a trailer for Deadpool attached to Ready Player One. And I was like, there's a lot of kids in here. What are you doing?
I didn't see that.
I mean, like the opening part of the trailer when like he's running towards the car, and on the internet he goes, "Start the fucking car!" I was like, "Oh God, please don't let him say fucking car in this theater. This theater will explode." Ready Player One was number one at the box office.
I mean, it's not up against anything. So,
well, I mean, I think was Black Panther still number two? No, it wasn't. Was it?
I don't know.
I forget. I don't think it was. I think Black Panther maybe dropped to number three.
My favorite part about Ready Player One is the audience, which was. When I saw it was a bunch of little kids.
Oh, really?
And like whenever a reference was made, they'd scream, and I'd be like, "You weren't even born." Like this, you. Right. What are you clapping at? Because it's not nostalgia. You weren't even born yet. Like you clap because you think you're supposed to.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Black Panther is now the biggest U.S. superhero movie of all time.
But it's black.
but you're black. Yeah, it's made over $600 million. It finally topped Avengers. I think Avengers is still first worldwide, I think, still. But it just keeps making money. That thing's a fucking juggernaut. I mean, Black Panther could conceivably still be in theaters when Avengers comes out, which I'm sure they had no idea was going to happen.
No. I mean, I think they banked on it doing really well, but nothing like
that. No, nothing. No one was. They were probably expecting like Ant-Man, Doctor Strange numbers.
No one was going to predict this. Yeah. But good on it.
Yeah. Good on it. Yeah, it's a good movie. I liked it. It's not the greatest one for me, but I did like it a lot. Yeah. It was really good. I look forward to getting it on Blu-ray. What else? Did we talk about the Oscars? I don't even know if we talked about the Oscars. Shape of Water won.
Oh, that's it. I don't remember. I don't know.
Shape of Water won all the Oscars, basically. Won Best Director, Best Original Screenplay,
Best Fish Fuck.
Best Fish Fuck movie. Fish Porn.
Yeah.
And Best Picture. And the acting awards pretty much went.
Pretty much as predicted. It was predicted by pretty much everybody.
Gary Oldman lost. No, he didn't. He won.
Frances McDormand was a lock.
Yeah. Logan won for Best Adapted Screenplay. No, yeah, it didn't. No, it didn't. But, yeah. So there you go. That's the Oscars. See you next year. All right, let's get into this. Ready Player One. I was writing my review today while I was at work. And as I was writing, I was like, this grade's getting a little lower. It's based on a novel by Ernest Cline, who also co-wrote the screenplay.
Do I call it a novel?
It's based on a masturbatory exercise by Ernest Cline.
As I refer to it, the literary equivalent of the Goat Boy SNL sketch.
Remember the 80s? He co-wrote the screenplay with Zach Penn. The movie was directed by Steven Spielberg, who everybody was like, oh my God, he has to direct this. And I'm like,
Okay.
I don't see why after I saw it. I didn't hate the movie at all.
It's just very benign.
It's just there's just nothing there.
Acting is wasted talent there because they're not doing hardly anything.
Yeah.
Ben Mendelsohn's just completely wasted as a great actor in this role.
Yeah.
That he's just one note until that weird come to Jesus moment at the end of the, where, out of nowhere. Well, why did he do that? I mean, he just blow his brains out. We're done with it. Spoiler alert, I guess.
Yeah, I guess, whatever.
I mean, he just that look on his face, it's like, did Spielberg tell you to do that? Because that was a mistake.
I mean, basically, if you've seen Willy Wonka and you've seen The Goonies, you've seen Ready Player One. It's very much borrows, the plot borrows a lot from those two films. I mean, even down to the point that in the trailer and on the soundtrack, there's a cover version of World of Imagination from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. I think kids will love it. Kids will love it.
It's not the pop culture spewage that the novel is.
It's not as bad as that. Yeah, but
it's just everything about it is just so blah.
You've been there, done that.
Yeah.
There's nothing special about this movie. There's nothing
cool about it. Right. I mean, it was very paint by numbers, very, very safe. To be fair to Spielberg, I don't know what he was going to do to this to make it some masterpiece some people were thinking.
Yeah.
But I guess some people thought the novel was really great.
Right.
And, you know, the novel was a slightly entertaining read, or listen if you're me.
Right.
The Will Wheaton audiobook.
It takes period over a much longer period of time, doesn't it?
So the odd thing about this movie is that it's fucking long. It's like 2.5 hours long. But the story still feels very collapsed.
Right.
I mean, it's really weird, right? Like, within 2 seconds, he's in love with
Artemis.
Artemis. Like,
played by Olivia Cooke.
Honestly, why not just build that up until the very end and say, I love you?
Right.
Like, why be in love with her immediately?
Right.
It made no sense.
Right.
The chase to all the keys, it all felt very collapsed. And, it didn't actually follow the book near as closely as I thought it might.
I gotta tell you, the race in the very beginning, I was bored out of my mind.
Oh right, yeah,
I was bored out of my mind. It was like watching those videos on YouTube where you watch a person play a video game, which kids do.
Yeah.
So kids will love this movie because that's what it is. It's watching another person play a video game, and I'm just like, this is boring as fuck. And
somehow I didn't feel a sense of urgency in any of this. Like, even though people die and there's no
consequences. Like, none. When they're in the Oasis, on the blurb for the book, like, I think USA Today was like, it's Willy Wonka meets the Matrix. No, because in the Matrix, if you die in the Matrix, you fucking die.
Yeah.
It's jacked into your brain and you go brain dead and you die. This is not the case. You lose your stuff.
Me and my girlfriend both looked at each other at the end and go, oh, so there are police here.
Yeah, exactly.
And
right.
Just at the end, they just show up at the end, and like, I guess people do whatever the fuck they want. Have these drag races in here? Oh, sorry, that's in the Oasis.
Right.
But do whatever the fuck.
Well,
these
people are murdering people all over the place.
But police doesn't matter. They just show up kind of at the end, and it was just all really weird.
Yeah,
and
I didn't understand like what the politics were. What, like, obviously they're like, oh well, this corporation IOI is trying to take over.
Well, in the club it was dancing.
Right. It's Paul. Nice.
Yeah.
That song's not on the soundtrack.
No, either. It's not at all.
No. Even the opening track from the even the opening track is not on the soundtrack.
Nope.
I knew I was in for a bad time when they started with Van Halen's Jump, a song that I like just fine. But the guy next to me goes, "Yes!" I'm like, "Really, dude?"
Hey, first, that's exactly what I did when someone started clapping at really early on at something, and I'm just like, "Seriously? Like what?" And again, it was some kid, and I'm just going, what the fuck? Like, you weren't even, I can tell by the sound of your voice you weren't even born yet. Like, what part of the nostalgia are you reading into right now?
And yes, this movie did lose a full letter grade from me because they played Depeche Mode's World of My Eyes in the trailer, and it is not in the movie. Mm. Fuck you.
Very fresh criticism. Very
very unbiased and objective criticism. Yeah,
objective criticism.
I like the cast. I liked the cast.
I didn't.
You didn't?
I liked the actors.
Right.
The
casting
was not good. T.J. Miller was awful. That character he played in the Oasis.
Alright, I thought he was fine, but I didn't.
You got Wade and whatever her real name is.
Samantha.
Samantha. they're supposed to be very homely.
Right.
Borderline ugly. And you get these pretty actors playing them. Like, and yes, Artemis, or Samantha, she does have the, in the book, she does have the
birthmark.
The birthmark. But that ain't the only problem with her, right? Right. I mean, it's just like, you get, oh, no, it's kind of like the glasses. Right. Like, put on glasses and put up your hair and you're ugly all of a sudden. It's like, that's, you're, you know, it just,
yes, talk
that,
to
big... that pissed me off just from the trailers.
Right.
It carried on to the movie.
Right. It's tough to make Olivia Cooke ugly.
Yeah. But, I mean, the acting was just so stale, it didn't matter who played the parts.
Well, see, that's the thing. It's like, it's because the majority of this movie, it's basically an animated movie.
Sure.
Because it all takes place in the Oasis.
Yeah, it's all avatars. It's all
right.
CGI.
And
80% of it.
And it's like, first of all, I'm like, okay, I can understand why you might do the different avatars stuff, but, like, I don't understand why Ben Mendelsohn wasn't, like, had, like, that weird avatar. You would have thought he would have been, like, a lifelike person who was, like, you know, who, like... And it's like, you think, 2045, I would think that the graphic ability would be a lot better.
Interfaces would be something newer.
I mean, Marvel can make young Robert Downey Jr. interact with his fucking parents. I think you could do that in this, you know, as well. And,
well, it was just, it's just odd that, it was weird because the choices that were made with the within the Oasis, because part of it, like you said, looked real.
Right.
And then some of it looked...
like
conceivably
cartoony.
Fake.
Right.
It's like, and I get that you can create whatever you want in there.
Right.
I got that. But it doesn't make sense
to
mesh those together.
It didn't work.
Yeah, it didn't work.
The other thing about the movie is that... And we're not really talking about the plot, because I basically summed up the plot by saying it's Willy Wonka meets the Goonies. I mean, that's basically what it is. Mark Rylance.
Guy creates a virtual reality world that kind of keeps getting bigger and bigger. And it basically becomes its own world where people escape into. He has died, and he has left the key to his realm, ownership of the Oasis, which is the name of the virtual reality world, within within the Oasis, he's left keys that will lead to the quote unquote Easter egg, which is whoever finds it will take owner will gain all the ownership of the Oasis and all Halliday, which was the creator's fortune.
Played by Mark Rylance.
Yeah, and I mean that's it. So you got these different factions and different people vying for...
Ben Mendelsohn runs a company that is like the biggest gaming company or whatever, and they're a corporation
Consider it like a Amazon or a Google.
Right. And they use debtors and put them...
Basically like indentured servants.
Right, to put them into the Oasis to work for them so they can pay off their debt.
So they buy off people's debts in real life. And then make them work for them. I don't know
how. Yeah, I love how they're like, we paid off your debt. I'm like, I didn't ask you to do that. It's like, you can forcibly do that?
That's how that debtors work. Right? Debtors can consolidate debt without
you. No, I know that. But when they did it to her, they're like, oh, we bought up all your debt. Now you work for us. And she's like, wait.
But you don't have to ask for that. Debtors can consolidate debt without you knowing. Like buying up other debt markers from other people. Yeah. All
right. Whatever. But, you know, and then the main kid is...
But again, going back to that, though, it's still run like an illegal mafia type of operation, yet somehow it's all above
cops
board.
Cops don't care. Nobody cares.
It's all
like,
fine.
And that's... Ty Sheridan plays the main kid, Wade Watts, who is Parsival in the Oasis. Olivia Cooke plays Artemis, the female lead, we'll call her. She's a revolutionary, even though... they're not rebelling against the government. They're rebelling against this company, I guess, which is didn't make sense to me. And then there are three other people who are sidekicks, basically. The main one being Lena Waithe, who plays H, who Wade thinks is a guy throughout half the movie until he finds out it's really a girl. But you can tell by her voice, even in the Oasis.
You can tell by the voice, and she has this little monologue in the middle. It's like, wink, wink.
Yeah.
You can be anyone in the Oasis.
Yeah.
Wink,
right,
wink.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
You don't know who Artemis could be.
Right. So, the thing that bothered me the most that was taking me out of the movie is that I don't feel really...
Bathroom break?
Yes. I had too much soda.
Yeah. A lot of soda.
During Death of Stalin. I never was totally understanding what the fuck the Oasis was. I'm like, is it like a VR internet? Because if it's a VR internet, and in that case, this movie should be rated R. And there should be a lot dirtier shit, like in Dave Chappelle, when the internet comes to life.
Right,
and,
you got all the pop-up ads.
Right, yeah, pop-up ads and the Donkey Show. You know, so is it a VR internet?
Yeah.
Or is it a game?
It's a VR internet.
So it's a VR internet. So...
it's a whole world. The people it's not a game.
The people go to play games in the world, but yes. They are the avatars in the game, and they can be, quote, killed in the game.
It's kind of like Second City, but VR. Remember that?
SimCity.
No, Second Life.
Second Life.
Second Life.
Second Life.
Yeah.
Okay. So then my question then becomes this. So when you die in the Oasis, quote, unquote, you die... you basically get like zeroed out, they call it, where you lose all your stuff and all that stuff, just like in a video game.
Yes.
But can you only be killed in the game rooms? Or can somebody, like, when he was like at the library, could somebody just walk up and fucking shank him and kill him? And, and then all his, I mean, like, and so then I'm like, what are the laws?
You don't know. They don't explain the laws. They do, I think it's more the first thing, because they do kind of talk about, like, when people want to go get a lot of money, they go to the Doom World because that's where people are killing each other in battle.
Right.
So there are clearly rules,
right,
but none of them are explained.
No.
And they're not explained because, honestly, it doesn't fucking matter in this movie.
And then the other thing is, too, is like it's not like The Matrix where, like, the whole point of The Matrix is, like, free your mind. You know, so that Neo and Morpheus and Trinity, they know... how it works and what it really is, so they can bend the rules
of
physics.
They know Kung Fu.
Right, they know Kung Fu. Whoa. They can bend, like, the physics, and he can fly and all this kind of shit. But in the Oasis, I'm like, what are the rules? Like, couldn't he just fly everywhere if he wanted to? Or, like, couldn't he... like,
you
they
don't
didn't,
know. You don't know.
They didn't really,
but
like...
but clearly you can't, because you have to buy things, right? You have to buy upgrades.
Right.
And I'm sure they have some kind of flight suit upgrade.
I guess.
But
I mean, but it's like, I didn't...
again.
Like, I didn't... yeah, it's not... stuff just...
and again, you've... this is, like, this type of shit makes no sense, right?
Right.
Okay. So, you can buy weapons,
right?
And the weapons would always have to be created by the creator of...
right.
Which would have been...
Halliday. Yes.
Halliday, right? You assume...
who's running the goddamn thing?
You assume he had full authority over, you know, what was created. So you're telling me he would allow a weapon to be created that could be bought that destroys every avatar in the game?
Yeah, I don't think so.
What? Why would that even? Yeah. Why would that even exist?
Right. Yeah.
That's
right.
The dumbest thing I've ever. Like
that was dumb.
That was such a dumb trope.
That
I was just
dumb.
Like, oh.
And let's do one more spoiler while we're just, you know, throwing shit out. I won't even say the actor's name, but. Really?
Simon Pegg.
God damn it.
Just say it.
Really? He's the curator? So what does he do? He just hangs out and his thing just waits for him to show him and goes, oh, I'm awake.
Whenever he shows up, he's just there. Right?
I'm like, he could have said something like the program was based on me or something like that. No.
That's
it's
my
him.
Avatar.
It's
like,
him.
What the fuck?
And I'm here all the time 24/7.
I'm just waiting for you to show up. I'm waiting for you.
What the fuck? That doesn't make any sense at all.
It doesn't make any sense because that curator would have to be there 24/7 for anyone who showed up to go into the archive.
365. He's there all the time.
Holiday banished him turned him into a slave.
Now, was The Shining thing, was that in the book too? Mm-mm. That's not in the book. That was just for the movie.
Yeah.
So that was obviously...
to be fair, I don't remember a whole lot of details about the book, but I feel like I would remember it. I mean, I read the book years ago.
I think
ago.
You would have remembered
it. I would have remembered it if The Shining was in the book. That was not...
clearly, that was Spielberg's homage to Kubrick, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, it was cool. It was
interesting, yeah. I was surprised they did the lady in the bathtub thing. I was surprised they did that, because I was like, to me, that was a creepy part of the movie.
I thought it was going to be like, you have to have the courage to kiss her.
The lady in the tub, yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's some neat stuff in this. I mean, there's a lot of, like, interesting, neat stuff. But again, because I didn't understand how the world worked and all this stuff, I'm just like, this doesn't make any sense. And then...
and again, that goes back to what I was saying about how everything feels so truncated, even though the movie's 2.5 hours long.
Right.
You still don't get a sense of what really all is going on.
Right.
There's so many moving parts that they just kind of grind to a halt.
Yeah. And I guess that should bring us to the biggest thing about this movie that seems to be drawing people in, that actually turned me off when I was in the movie, was all the nostalgia porn in it. Because you can make your avatar look like whatever you want, there's all these different 80s...
For some reason, 80s. Like, right. Fucking, like, this is 2045.
Right.
Why there's this focus on the 80s. Well, and then
right.
Or, yeah, 2040. Or was it 2140?
2045, yeah.
And then, like the dance scene where he, like, pulls out the disco and she's like, oh, going old school. And, I just look at my girlfriend and go, it's all fucking old school.
Yeah.
It's 2045.
Right.
You, this person, they were just born in, like, 20 alt. Whatever.
He was born, yeah, 2017. No, more than that, 2027.
Those people are not going to distinguish 70s from 80s.
Exactly.
Like, they're,
yeah, she's like going old school. And I'm like
it's all fucking old school for
you. I'm like, you were playing New Order's Blue Monday. Right. That's old school to you.
You're not going to distinguish between those two old schools. No sense.
That was so stupid. Yeah. So it's like, yeah. It was just like...
The Buckaroo Banzai was in the book.
Right, I figured.
Yeah,
It was, to me, it was just like the whole point of
the
all
music
that stuff
was cool. Like, I could hear like different things, mm-hmm. like within the score,
right,
that Sylvester did. I could hear like,
Back to the Future was like, they hammered that
way in
they
there. But I swear to God, I think I heard like Amazing Stories in there a couple times.
You might have,
and I was like, that makes sense because that's.
And
Spielberg.
I did notice how on his, I guess his earphones, he had the logo for The Greatest American Hero.
Hero. They had the Batman logo on the top. Yeah. They referenced Batman a few times.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't understand
right in the beginning.
They're
just
why they
Batman,
why
you know?
They referenced him so much.
Well, it's a Warner Brothers.
They had the rights.
It's a Warner Brothers movie. So yeah. So no, but to me, like the whole logic, the quote unquote logic, why all this 80s crap is in there is because Halliday himself was obsessed with 80s culture and all this kind of stuff.
Don't get into though that much in the movie. They don't really explain that as well.
Because I didn't understand how old he was. Like, I didn't know how old he was. So it was like, so I didn't know if, like, was he born in the 80s or, you know, I guess he was because he was playing ColecoVision at one point, you know, so. But, like, I was trying to do the math in my head, but I was tired. I was like, I can't do the math right now. So I was like,
It doesn't matter.
I mean, he would have had to have been, he died, what, it was like 3 years or 4 or 5 years before this movie actually takes place.
Right. So,
he died in 2040.
The movie takes place 5 years after his death, and basically what they say is, you know, at first everyone and their mother was going after the keys, but it had died down since then because it became
anything.
Impossible.
Right.
So it's just there's only this subset of people that are still really energized over doing.
So if he was 60 when he died, he would have been born in 1980. So there you go. So okay, that makes okay. So, but yeah, all this stuff is in it. But like, it was just like an onslaught of just nostalgia porn, just stuff in there just because. And it felt like
if you felt like that, then read the book and you'll
I started reading the book. I couldn't get through it. I was just like, I can't.
So, hey, here's a list of things from the 80s.
I know. It's so it's like, fuck you. So
I was expecting like some Indiana Jones references.
They don't have the rights.
They don't have the rights.
I mean, they mentioned... No, because it's Warner Brothers. Well, they mentioned.
I would assume with Spielberg, they could have probably gotten something. No.
They mentioned...
Jaws.
They mentioned Star Wars. A couple Star Wars things, but that's about it. They mentioned Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, they mentioned
the Falcon. And his belt. I mean, a Parsifal's belt is Han Solo's belt.
The gun belt.
The gun
belt
is Han Solo's belt. But it's like... It was just like nostalgia stuff, just for nostalgia's sake. There's no rhyme or reason to it. There's no story element for it. It's just there, and it's like it was boring to me. Like when it showed up, I was like, I got like annoyed. I'm like, come up with your own shit, dude.
And then I don't remember the book, the ending that much of the book, but the whole ending of the movie,
he blows his brains.
The whole you're not or. This isn't an avatar, is it? He's like, nope, wink. But you're not dead, or are you dead? It's like, the fuck, man. Like,
no, I mean
that means nothing. It goes nowhere. I don't understand why that was.
Here's my thing. I don't understand why the kid didn't understand what he was. This is 2045, and he's like, You're not an avatar. No. What are you? I'm like, he's an AI, you dumb you're not, fuck. It's like
you're not getting it. Like that should be just every day. Like AI exists now.
Yeah.
Like it shouldn't be a thing. Yeah. Like to be like, oh, like,
right. Yeah.
Oh.
Right. Yeah. So, but it's like, you know, if you're watching, say, like in this age of superhero movies and, you know, doing Star Wars and all that crap, you know. You've got, you'll have stuff like that's in there for like nostalgia, you know, just like the Millennium Falcon or whatever. But it fits in Star Wars. Like it fits in that world. It belongs in that world. Marvel Comics, you know, even the DC movies, you know, you see something, you go, oh, that's Darkseid symbol. That's cool. It fits in the thing. It's a reference to the comic book.
They basically create this as ad nauseum for right. nostalgia. Just fit anything in anywhere, and they can say it's meant to fit because it's a world that can have anything.
Right. Like, it's like they put all the references in a shotgun and just went, pow, just like all over the place. That means nothing. Something like Wreck-It Ralph. It made sense to have all the different video games because they all go to the same place when they're turned off. They all go to the same place and they all the characters intermingle. It made sense. This is just it was like a turnoff to me. Like I said, the race in the beginning, it was so fast and so chaotic. I'm like, I don't even know what the fuck's going on right now.
It didn't matter. And they're like, no one ever finishes this race. I'm like, why is he? The last, like, how many times has he tried this race?
Right.
How many times has it run?
Right.
Is it constantly going? Do I care? I don't know.
I love how he has the DeLorean from Back to the Future. I'm like, you know that car was a piece of shit.
Yeah. It's like, he was smuggling cocaine in the back, though, so it made perfect sense.
Right, exactly. You should have like, fucking Bullets car or something like that. Or the, what's the,
That's from the 60s, man.
No,
that's
I'm sorry, 80s, too far back.
That's not 80s nostalgia.
Should have had, Smokey and the Bandit's car.
which was in there?
Oh, was? Yeah. Oh, I didn't see it.
Was, Show's car when he made it.
Oh, okay.
The one that got destroyed. Smokey and the Bandit. Should have been Kit.
Yeah. And H should have been driving the A-Team van.
The A-Team van, yeah. Bigfoot was pretty 80s-ish.
Yeah. So,
yeah,
I mean,
that's funny you mean. Yeah, that the Smokey and the Bandit was referenced in there. Well,
so, you know, Ready Player One.
It's not bad. It's unnecessary.
Yeah, it's not terrible, but it's not great either.
I'm not going to understand anyone who walks out of there and goes, I loved it.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I was watching Collider, and Collider's doing their countdown of the greatest Spielberg films. And, like, Christian Harlov's like, I mean, I loved Ready Player One. I mean, does it belong on this list? And now I saw it. I'm like, fuck
no.
No. I'm like,
no.
God,
the
no.
The answer is no. Right? You can answer that immediately.
The answer is 100 times no.
This is not some great Spielbergian movie. No.
Yeah.
So anyway, not Ready Player One.
Oh, God.
Will they call the sequel Ready Player Two?
Probably.
Because he is writing another one.
Ugh.
Ernest Cline is contractually now signed to do the sequel.
Oh, God. Is it because of the movie? Is it going to be like a Michael Crichton situation?
I'm sure.
Where he basically wrote The Lost World as a sequel to the movie, not the book?
Yeah, I don't think that he had any intention of doing a sequel. Or, I shouldn't say that, I don't know. But he probably, without the popularity of an ensuing movie, would likely not gotten around to it.
What did you think of Ready Player One, Matt?
Sucked.
Matt did not see the movie.
Look, fanboys, no haters. So, yeah.
Yeah, so.
No need to rush out for this one.
No, go see Black Panther again. You might as well brush up for in time for Infinity War, which I have my tickets for.
Yay.
So do you want to discuss how much you loved Jesus Christ Superstar last night on NBC?
Oh, is that on? I didn't know that was on. I missed that.
I did not see it myself. So Ready Player One, you can probably, as Dirty A said, don't rush out to go see it.
Yeah, I just, you know, it's odd. It just wasn't.
My description of it was that it felt very hollow. There's just nothing there. I mean, and they don't even really, like, flesh out the characters that much either.
No, not like, at Wade all. Like, is just like I said, anyone could have played these characters because they don't. Yeah. Oh, you know, going back, fucking, you know, we're kind of wrapped up here, but like, how about when his you know, spoilers abound, right?
Right.
How about when his aunt is killed and he doesn't even go to see if she's okay, possibly, like, go check. He just takes off in the other direction. She's like, ah, guess she's dead. Which, of course, she probably was, but you don't know. You're not going to go look.
You don't know.
You're not going to go look. Yeah. He didn't even know if she was home or not because he never got up with her.
Right.
You're not going to, you know. No, he just leaves. Fuck that. Fuck it. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. I got to go find this fucking Easter egg.
I've got to keep this plot going in this movie.
My other thing is, too, is like, does the money in the Oasis translate into real world money? I guess not.
I don't think so.
Because after he found the first key, he could have been like, oh, well.
Right. No,
$100,000.
No, it's not. It's
just in-game money?
Yeah. Well, yes and no, right? Because it allows you to purchase things in real life.
Right.
Because he was able to purchase, like, that real suit.
Right.
So some of it does translate into the real world because you're able to buy real items.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm not really going to think about it that hard.
Sorry. I saw Death of Stalin, same time as I saw Ready Player One. And it's by Armando Iannucci, who is the creator of Veep and The Thick of It. Death of Stalin is good, but do not expect Veep if you're going into it. It's a little bit darker than that. It's definitely has funny moments, and the cast is great. Steve Buscemi's in it, and Jeffrey Tambor, Jason Isaacs. It's a great cast. Michael Palin. But there are some moments, there are several moments when you're just like, oh yeah, these guys were evil murderers. Awesome. So it's, they were not good people.
Right.
Tomb Raider?
don't go see Tomb Raider. It's not good. It's not, to be fair, that movie's not made, I'm not the target audience for that movie.
Right.
Don't play the video games. Didn't see the original movies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's I'm not the audience for that, but it still wasn't very good.
Right. Did we talk about Annihilation? I don't think we did talk about Annihilation.
I thought we did.
Did we?
I thought we did.
I thought we did.
Okay. Well, you liked it and I didn't.
Right. I liked it.
I didn't.
Matt's reading the book. He says, and when he's been asking me questions, he said,
"No, it was a book."
Yeah, it was the first of a trilogy. And he's reading the book, and from what the questions he's asking me, it's like, it's very, very different from the book.
I thought it was the lowest common denominator sci-fi.
Really?
Yeah. I was really looking forward to it, and I just thought, I knew from the very beginning, I said, oh, here's what happens.
I thought it was really good. I liked it. So you're wrong.
No.
You are wrong. Yeah, I guess that's it.
Thanks for dropping by.
Yeah. Short episode, I guess. Around 40 minutes. Next episode, who knows? It's not going to be Rampage, I can tell you that. I'm not going to see that piece of shit. I have no desire to see that. Talk about watching somebody play a video game. Isle of Dogs does come out this weekend, though. I think it does expand this weekend. Okay. And A Quiet Place opens this weekend.
Oh, hell yeah, Quiet Place.
We'll see. For me.
Yeah.
That one might make
Doug's
me sure.
Doug's Quiet Place will be in his bed.
With the covers over my head. Oh. But I definitely want to see Isle of Dogs. So maybe we'll get to see that, and then we can talk about Isle of Dogs next time. But that'll do it. Thanks for stopping by, everybody. Thanks for listening.